provide the necessary service. I know we're appreciated, especially by the counselors and the clients. The number of assignments we get every year grows, the number of institutions we work with, the word is spreading. Colleges will call up from outstate Nebraska. We heard at a counseling convention that you do this, would you do a book for us, so on and so forth. And the counselors have gotten used to working with us. I know at Metro, we do half of all their assignments. The others they get from our RFBND. So I have every reason to believe that we're still a viable service. I foresee the day when our technology will have to change, perhaps. And when it does, and we'll go with that. But for now, it seems to be working well. And I'd be glad to answer any questions that you have, if you have any.
I had a couple questions. One is, I noticed, so you do get reimbursed from time to time from people that you do the reading for?
Actually, we charge a set fee for each tape.
And that's generally paid by the governments in some form, but through the counselor, or do you know?
I don't know. I know the counselors usually send me a budget at the beginning of the year. Here's how much we have allotted for reading. We have never gone over it, or they don't care if we go over it, because I never pay much attention to it. I just keep sending in the bills, and they keep sending in the checks. So however they work it out, but that's all up to the counseling department, special needs departments at the colleges. We charge $6 for a 90-minute tape.
Is there any kind of national organization, you know, like the books that you've recorded and have available? So if I'm in Missouri is that list of books that you know, like RFB, you know, they have their catalog. I mean, is there any way that you can get out the catalog that you have, or do other, is this service being done in other states? Is there any sharing of titles that are available?
I know of only four other states that do this, and I've never seen their titles. The one I know best is Minnesota, who, by the way, charges $54 for a 90-minute tape. We have not made ours, it's not that we made a conscious decision we won't make our list available, it's just that we haven't. I suppose it's one of those things that eventually we could put on our website, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But we're so busy just taking care of what comes in here. And then, of course, you have the logistics of mailing and, you know, all of that. But it's a possibility for some future date. I'm sorry, yes, sir?
Can I ask a question?
Okay.
What about duplication of effort? You know, other states, there are other recording services like RFB, and I think there's one in Chicago, too, that record textbooks, and they do have listings or catalogs, whatever, of material that they've recorded. Do you check to see if a request that you receive has already been done?
The counselor does that.
Okay.
In fact, the first question on our form is, have you checked other sources? The form that the counselor has to fill out for us says, have you checked other sources? So we assume that they take care of that. And I think they're pretty good about that, because all of them, I think, are registered with RFBND and know what's available. The problem with RFBND is the new additions. If you haven't been in a college lately, what's happened, it used to be a new edition of a textbook would come out every 5 or 6 years. Now it comes out every other year. Obviously, the publishers like that, because then they can replace all the old textbooks and make a lot of money. But it's hard to keep up with that.
You said most of your services are for college students. Who does the recording for, you know, the high school and grammar school textbooks here locally? Do you know? Is that done in the school district?
We have done some of those. Elementary schools, I know, really encourage the parents to read to their children. and also use a lot of parent volunteers in the schools, the elementary especially. High school, I'm not sure what they do, and we have done some high school, but for the most part, I think again, they have aides and they have volunteers, parent volunteers that will come in and read some of those. When I went to college, college students, you know, the blind students on our campus, we read, but you can't find college students who will do that in our schools.
This is Sean. Can I ask a question?
Okay.
To eliminate the mailing costs and other things, have you thought about going to digital distribution by the internet?
We think about things like that all the time. I think the digital will first go to the network part of our radio station, and so I would think listening length would be far down the financial scale on that. The mailing costs, you know, actually most of it's free matter. It's not the cost so much as the keeping track of where they go and what. And I think eventually we will go digital, but that takes money, you know. Anything else? Thank you very much for allowing me to speak to you this morning.
Janet, I wondered if I could have a copy of your novels for this, if you don't have them.
Yes, my question was, if you do have the report that you just gave us in a written form.
Yeah.
I did just give that to her.
Okay.
I can mail this to the group.
That would be great. It was
I think I gave you.
This looks like
yeah. Here's what you need. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. I'm sorry.
We appreciate not only the information but the conciseness of it. That was excellent.
Very good.
I taught junior high for 34 years. They don't listen to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We, I think, incorporated kind of the public comment. Are there other comments from the public at this point? Jim, I know that at some point or another you had a public comment that you wanted to make. Is this the time?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'm going to keep you in suspense.
Okay. Is there anyone else from the public who wishes to make a comment?
I would make, and it's Bob Lockwood again.
Okay.
For those that do use a computer and download books, Bookshare, BookShare, bookshare.org is a wonderful place to go to. It costs $50 a year for subscribing to that service. And you can download 100 books a month from them. And they really have a good service. They have books of all different types that you can download. And they use a DAISY format. So you can use a DAISY reader, or when you unpack it, why then you get several other different extensions, so you don't have to use a DAISY reader. But they're really good for someone that wants to download books and read them, you know.
They also appreciate it for people to, if you are scanning a book, to share it.
That's right.
That's what
they do that.
Book share means.
Yeah.
Part of it is if you scan a book that, you know, and you want to share it with other people, you can do it that way, and you can get some discounts by participating from that end of it too. So, yeah, while we're talking about that, that's the other angle to that one.
Oh, I have a question. And that Bookshare, is it like for me, like JAWS reading it then, or is it like...
JAWS can read it, yeah.
But I mean, oh, so it isn't like talking book, you know?
No, you just read it, your computer downloads the data, and you just read it.
And it comes into a file, and then you read that file. And the HTM file or the XTM, I forget which one, a lot of times, like your technical books, they have chapters and stuff which are read, kind of like a help menu type thing. You can go down the individual chapters and read them. For novels, they just go straight through on novels.
Okay.
May I ask if any new people have come in and since introductions? To introduce yourself?
I'm still out in the hall, and I don't know who yet.
John, did you want to introduce yourself?
I already did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
How about Jack?
Jack Mindrum.
Thank you.
Jack?
Mindrum.
That's James Ford.
And you're from?
Omaha.
Okay.
Did your mother do that?
Yeah, oh, my God.
That's probably a good time for us to come to the to the break. Okay, so the break the break is 10 minutes. To order, please. The only person I know of at this point who has not introduced herself and may already be back gone again, working with the staff group, is Jane Lansaw from the Omaha Office of the Commission. But she is here, and you know, will continue to be available.
Here's Jane.
Okay.
Jane.
All right. Just introduced you in your absence, Jane. but welcome.
Thank you. You guys have met most of my car, more kids, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And seen adventures and wonderful skills.
Okay.
Who are we talking to? Tell me more money for our older folks and our kids.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is the report from the chairman, and that would be me. I think that there are a lot of things that we've been doing over the last few months since our last meeting. One thing has had to do with trying to preserve rehabilitation. I did write the official letter from the board concerning HR 27 to Congress. And we've been writing letters to Margaret Spellings. I've seen one from Nancy Altman and from Bob Burns, and I have written one. I haven't seen one from Dorothy or Bill. I hope you guys have done it, and we just didn't happen to see them.
I have.
Excuse me?
I have.
Good.
I have too.
Good. Wonderful. I hope everyone in this room has, and if you haven't, it's not too late. This is a real issue, and we really do need to preserve what we have and also make it better. On the 24th of February, there was the budget hearing for the commission before the Appropriations Committee. Don Peterson, who was in charge of that committee, decided to have very little verbal testimony, so I turned in my testimony in writing. But we did have several people speak, and you know, that's always a good thing. We've had other people write in to the senators, and I think that they definitely know who we are and what we need. To what extent they come through depends some on what there is to come through with, and also, you know, how they decide to interpret what needs are. But I do thank everybody who participated in that and who continues to educate senators. On the 15th and 16th of March, Bob Burns, Nancy Altman, and Dr. Van Zandt and I attended the State Rehab Council Training Forum in Kansas City, and we did learn a lot there. It was, I think, a very useful time. We were with people not only from the vocational rehabilitation agency here in Nebraska, but people in Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri as well. I also attended the Vendors Committee meeting on the 1st of April, and as we talked about last month, and we'll be talking about a little bit today, the Offutt Air Force Base facility is the big news right now with the business enterprise program. But there are other things always going on with that as well. On the 5th of April, Nancy Altman, Bob Burns, and I participated in part of the state staff meeting for NCBVI, and we were also privileged to be able to interact with people after the meeting, and Bob and I stayed overnight and talked with people into the evening about things, and were able to be there for a little bit of Doug and Chris Boone's presentation the next morning. That was really a lot of fun, and I think very informational as well. We're glad that LB 55 passed. That should improve things for some vending locations and that kind of thing here. Also, we continue to receive a lot of materials, as gets shown on with our minutes. We put the list up there. A lot of people have had their anniversary letters written since our last meeting. Shane Burrish, Jennifer Miller, Linda Kane, Jeff Altman, John Schmidt, Cheryl Livingston, Karen Mosier, Larry Mackey, Cindy Zimmer, Larry Ruse, Deanna Jesse, Susan Rowe. We appreciate all of them and want to publicly wish them happy anniversary from the Board of Commissioners as well. We're awfully glad that Rule Chapter 4 has gone to where it needed to go, and although it's a little bit peculiar that the version that is most perfect is not the version that is most public and accepted. Rather than go through the whole hearing process and everything else again, we will accept that as reality and thank everybody who worked on it again. We want to also congratulate Brian Strunk, who will be speaking at a national transition conference in June. We're always glad when we get complimentary notes concerning staff, and we got one concerning Larry Ruse this time. That's always good to hear. We want to thank Val Peary for getting us the staff listing that is most up to date and staying on top of that, so that when things change, we get another one, so that we do have up to date material on that. Want to thank Pearl for a lot of messages and a lot of information that we get over the time. The link to bills in Congress was really a good one, and the unicameral contact links and that sort of thing. We also have already, but we'll again thank Bob Deaton for giving us ongoing information concerning older blind clients. We've received information, the VIPS manual, the training list, the annual reports for independent living and older blind, and a lot of statistics and other information, and we really do appreciate it. Another thing that I think is really exciting is the manual for doing sign language as a blind person. It's very readable, and we appreciate receiving that too. We're also always glad to get the evaluations and the community service project information from FATOSH for students in the Orientation Center. It helps us to feel like we're keeping up with some of what constantly is going on in that busy place. Also, we have thanked students, but want to again, for the disc of materials for the State Rehab Council Training Forum. That was very helpful. Also, we like to see people being proactive, and Sahar Husseini did send us a letter that students had sent to ABC concerning an extreme makeover show that was shown. We're thankful to Karen Mosier for keeping us in the loop on the transition newsletter. We're glad we have a new Attorney General representative assigned, Charles Lowe. And we're always glad that we can be a part of anything that's going on. Things as simple as when email addresses change and that kind of thing. When we're talking about the rehab situation, there has been a steering committee for dealing with the monitoring that the Rehabilitation Services Administration does. I was offered an opportunity to participate in that and decided not to. I do think it's important that RSA's job get done. I think it's equally important that RSA do its job, and that if we try to band-aid that situation too much, people won't figure out that there is a need and it needs to happen. And it was a difficult decision, but I really think that we need to try to do what we're doing legislatively and through other efforts to see to it that rehab stays alive and that those situations can be continuing to be done. We are also glad to continue to get information from Cheryl Poff concerning things like Deafblind Awareness Week and the proclamation ceremony for that is to be on the 16th of June. At this point, I plan to be there. It will be at 10:30 in the Capitol, and I encourage anybody who can to come and take part in that event. Let's see. We're glad to get the list of staff so far who are on boards and other kinds of things in the community. It's wonderful that as busy as folks are, that people still take the time to be a part of community activities. Okay, and that, if I want everybody else to respect the time frame, is that. Okay, is there any public comment at this point? Or are there any questions of me? And if you have a comment, if you could state your name, please, so that we know who you are and the tape remembers it as well.
The name is Jack Mindro.
Yes.
And there may be an awareness of this, but with the Iraqi war going on, there is an upswing of the veterans experiencing blindness from the war, more so than the other previous three wars combined. So we're going to have a greater influx for the rehabilitation needs in the field offices. And so I wish to bring that.
Okay.
And maybe that'll help in our appeal with the senators.
That would be good. I hope you have written to them about that. And if not, I hope you will do so.
Well, ACB is in the process of putting together to do some investigating work, and then so we have some actual facts and percentages, actual numbers, so we can go with a letter to them to give them an actual count.
Okay.
That's being accomplished by Sandy.
This is Jimmy Arch. Just to clarify, that's the Omaha chapter of ACB. So, anyway.
Thank you. Okay. That's all.
Okay. Yes, I also know that there will be this coming week a demonstration in Washington, D.C. at the Department of Education. There are, I believe, 34 entities participating in that, and should be about 1,000 people there. Anyone who can get word out to newspapers or anywhere else about that event's occurrence, encourage people not only to be there, but also to get the word out that it's happening. This is a thing that is not just relevant to us as blind people, but to everyone who is involved with rehabilitation. And so that is happening, and it is in conjunction with a lot of other kinds of things, letter writing and talking to people involved in it, not only Margaret Spellings, but also legislators and anyone who will listen. So that's a point well taken about the veterans and
Madam Chairman, this is Hubert. As a follow-up, I think so long as those servicemen are in the service, they will, and perhaps for a long time after they are out, they will probably be seen and served through the Veterans Administration, however long funding is available for that entity. But liaison with the Veterans Administration may perhaps show that there are alternate facilities or contacts for assistance if the VA is unable to help them to the extent that the serviceman is looking.
This is Nancy Floral, but in regard to that, individuals are required to attend one of their centers before they'll receive any rehab. If they want rehab, they have to go there. And a lot of times people choose not to go to Chicago or wherever, and they want to stay in their home state. And oftentimes we end up providing the vocational rehabilitation services. But that's a good point, Hubert. Thank you.
Jack Mender, again. Sorry. I currently am doing fundraising at an important appointment for the veterans, and there is a diminishment of support for the veterans. They're pulling, they're cutting the support money there too. There's a greater need for more contributions to be made through the private rather than through the government. They're cutting their cutting back on their budgets in that area too. So,
Madam Chairman, this is Dorothy. Jack, do you work for the VA?
No, I don't work for the VA. I am a veteran, but I work for the Nebraska Telemarketing Service of Nebraska to supplement my other
source
of income. So, but the need is there. You can talk to John
Niebsack. The comment I want to make, I know experience my brother has as a Vietnam vet, that there's a means test. If you, even in Social Security, if you get over $16,000 a year, you're not eligible for VA benefits. So you know, people do have to look to the state then.
Are there other comments from the public?
Pearl Van Zandt.
Okay.
I wanted to bring up the deafblind proclamation that Cheryl Pop just sent us information about. In previous years, we've struggled with this, and we're faced with the same problem again. The governor's office apparently does not feel that they are responsible for providing interpreters. And I just got a note from Cheryl yesterday, but wasn't able to really do anything with it. But she had checked with Tanya Wendell. Well, first she checked with the governor's office and just informed them that there would be a need for interpreters during the proclamation. The governor's office indicated that, if I have this correct, that because she had asked for it first instead of waiting for it to be offered, that they were not responsible to provide. And so Cheryl Pop had did check with Connie Wendell about, she's Director of Commission for Deaf and Hard of Hearing, what their experience has been, and I believe the response was about the same. I don't know if Bob or anyone else can add more information, but it that's basically the picture, and this is the governor's office saying that they're not required to provide.
They're absolutely wrong.
I know, and how do we get them? Could the board, you know, communicate to the governor's office what needs to be done? And I know last year, when we were working here, attempting to communicate with the governor's office about it, they said, well, we don't have funds for that, so you need to pay for that. And, you know, I think they, how did it end up being done last year, Bob? There was one, but who paid for that?
They did pay for one.
Yeah, okay.
I think.
Yeah, because I remember that.
There were other interpreters that were there to provide more of the individual factual attention. Those were paid for by us. So it was kind of a partnership deal with, we did, in years past, we have provided the additional support beyond one.
Right.
So.
If the board would have any thoughts about how to make that happen, we know they are supposed to, and we say that to them, but it doesn't seem to help much.
I would think that they're going on that Alabama case where they, dealing with the 11th Amendment, I think, where they said that the federal is not interfere with the functioning of the state and governmental affairs of that nature. I think that's probably what they're going.
Excuse me, Bill, I can't hear you.
They're going with that Alabama case that was passed, went through the Supreme Court, oh, maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, where they said that the state was not necessarily bound by the ADA, that that related to the federal government and to go business over a certain amount, but it did not apply to the state government. That's probably what they're using. I wouldn't swear to it, but I think that's it.
So what does that end up meaning? I mean, you said that they were wrong about.
Yeah. I think they are wrong.
Well, I do too. Yeah. But you know, as a lawyer, I mean, you what?
Well, we have to find out what that is based upon. We have to, they're obviously using some legal principle, and we have to figure out what that legal principle is. The best way to figure out what the legal principle is to go to the legal advisor to the governor, whoever he might be or she might be.
Is that something that not only as a commissioner but as a lawyer you would be willing to do?
I could check into it.
That would be really great.
Yeah.
It's just a simple question. What do you base it on?
Mm-hmm. Well, and then after that.
Then you know what to do. Then we'll know how to proceed after that point.
Of course, the other issue is, are they even doing it on some legal principle, or are they just just doing it because?
Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
They maybe not even formulated any grand.
Of course, maybe
explanation of why they're not doing it. They're just
maybe. Lowell, the counsel, he probably knows too. I know him real well. He's a pretty sharp guy. I think he can pull out the answer rather quickly, since he's our attorney.
Yeah. Now, would he be able to do something if you would get him information? Would that be the way to go? We don't have a lot of time. This thing is supposed to happen on the 16th.
I'll get a hold of this Monday and see what he says.
Thank you.
Okay. And then if you can let me know what that's about, you know, because that really is, it seems like it comes up every year.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That would really be great.
Okay. Public comment time is now over, and it's time for the lunch break. No, wait a minute. I'm skipping ahead. I thought you'd speak up quicker. Wait. But she is awake. Okay, the report from the executive director is next.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, first I'll give you a little rundown of the people that we've been serving since October 1 in the vocational rehabilitation track. 40, well, total of 710, and Val, I can give you these later. We've had 47 successful voc rehab closures since October 1 and 41 unsuccessful. Independent living, we're serving 647 total, 151 successful closures and 32 unsuccessful. In the center, you know, we track the clients served since 1996, and this is through May of 05. Well, it must be through April, it's as of May. 122 people have gone through our center. Competitive, and those who've achieved competitive employment is a little over 89% of the total, and that includes competitive employment and homemaker. Of those, 72%, a little over 72, are competitive employment outcomes. And this number is a little bit less than what it has been lately, not a lot, but a little bit, and that's because quite a few people have finished their training lately and are currently looking for work. So that's still very good results from people in the center. And of course, they start with home teaching in the field almost always. Staff update, the only change is that Michelle Nelson of Omaha has announced that she is going to leave us in mid-June. She's got a job in New Zealand teaching technology for the blind. So that's kind of exciting. We're a little bigger, but it's nice that she's staying in the field and should be a great opportunity for her. Business Enterprise, a new vendors committee was voted in on Thursday, May 19th. They are Howard Simons, chair, Fred Scarpello, vice chair, Judy Beck, secretary, and then Dave Johnson and Gail Crow. And they also have gone to having alternates, and this is to better manage situations when the committee is lacking a quorum. So this is a new thing. The three alternates are Dave Sampson, Dave Hunt, and Ray Johnson. And they also, at their May 19th meeting, discussed the set-aside level and received a report from Terry Harris of all the activity in the past year, and did vote to continue the set-aside at 13% of each vendor's net. The Alumni Association is going strong. They're doing a lot of fundraising. And they also are working on a website, which in fact Sean Jernis is working on, and they'll let us know when that is available.
Soon.
Soon, yes, any minute now. When it is, they will link to our website and we'll do the same. Now, I don't think that was a beep for me.
No.
Okay, thank you. okay, there's a mentoring project in the works. We've just entered into an agreement with the National Center for the Blind they have a federal mentoring grant which they administer through two states, and so they have requested that we be one of the states that work with them. Carlos Servan will be the lead staff on this, and it hasn't officially started yet. We've just kind of made the agreement and signed the paperwork, but that will bring in some additional funds for Carlos's salary and also for activities that the mentors and mentees will be able to do. And if you want questions later on that, we can defer to Carlos. In-service training grant proposal is due June 13th, and Bob Deaton has just started working on that. So there is the option this year again for both the basic grant, which most states get unless you really do a bad proposal, which is usually about $20,000. It's rare that a state doesn't get that, although I know one that didn't once. And then there is also the option, again, for the quality award, which, you know, we've had for the past 5 years. And so we'll develop something with that and hope to have those funds as well. The network, or not really a network, having our staff
connected to the state of Nebraska server, otherwise known as the Sun server. We had negotiated with state of Nebraska and understood that we would be able to, once our folks all were on, then because that increased the number of users on the whole Sun server, that it would allow the per user cost to go from $14 a month to $10 a month. And so we had determined we could do that within our budget. And then we were informed, I think in this past month or so, that we were not going to be charged $10 a month, we were going to be charged $14 a month. So then we kind of put the brakes on that, and we were going to disconnect our, you know, those of us who had been connected, except for we will keep, even at $14 a month, we'll keep a few people in administration connected. It's mainly for backup, is the biggest purpose, if we can't go statewide. If we go statewide, it has many more applications. But they did decide that they, as Department of Administrative Services, are going to have a meeting, I believe this next Thursday, at which they will discuss what they're going to charge. And so we decided to hold off on doing anything different until we know what that will be. So that's that. The National Transition Conference, you mentioned that Ryan Strunk will be speaking, and also I will be presenting.
Oh.
So that's exciting. There are a couple other people, Nebraskans, who submitted proposals, and we think that they are not accepted, but we don't know that for sure. In terms of the goals that relate to, that I kind of establish each year, I wanted to give you some updates. Service delivery, objective one is training personnel in strategies for successful job placements and scoring high on the RSA standards and indicators. We have at office and district meetings, and then at the April state staff meeting, spent quite a lot of time on developing new skills for all staff in job placement and things that are related to that. So those were specific trainings, but that's really ongoing as well. The second is developing strategies to continue effective transition services. The RSA grant does end September 30th. It's the last of the five-year transition funding, and so of late we've been working to expand involvement of all of the field staff in transition activities, and we're moving toward all of the staff reporting in what involvement they have with individual clients or schools or anything else related to transition. So we're trying to basically spread that out, distribute it more through the other staff. And third in service delivery is strategies for more effective service delivery to the growing numbers of older blind Nebraskans. Bob really covered that well earlier. I guess maybe one part of it that we're looking at that I don't think we covered earlier is with people, there are many older individuals who do not really want intensive training, even the localized. We found geographically this seems to be different. More in the western part of the state, there are people that, you know, maybe want the basics, like Betty talked about, marking the stove and appliances, getting signed up for talking books and such, other resources, that maybe we would develop more of a time-limited, focused home teaching, let's say five sessions with a person, and have it very clear what each of those sessions needed to cover. And of course, it's always individualized, but to give staff kind of a basic package that they would know that this is what I'll provide to many of the older blind persons. Sometimes what happens is we all like the clients and the clients like us so much that we just kind of keep going for, you know, every month for quite a while, and it's hard to find an endpoint. So we thought that more focused approach might be more effective and efficient. Fiscally, first is identifying sources and working to fully match federal funds. You know, in the past, we put more emphasis on really building the soft match or in-kind and the third-party cooperative agreements, as well as building, well, specifically for match. Building the budget overall is another thing, but the Appropriations Committee did decide to still not provide the funds that we requested this year, but they did add $80,000 to what they had first suggested that we receive in general funds. And it was specifically to provide the match that previously had been, or you know, was available from the Low Vision Clinic grant. And second, identifying ways to fund the deafblind and transition services. I talked about transition already. Deafblind grant is another one that is ending at the end of this federal fiscal year. With the Helen Keller funds, they have decreased their funding each year, and so we've increased the commission support for that program. And at the end of this year, there will be no more external funds for deafblind.